Tom Tavaro, podcast 36 from Birmingham, all right, up here in the Midlands. This is where, or very close to where I trained to be a teacher. Everybody sounds like that. Actually, I was in Walsall in the Black Country. If you're British, you might just understand that. If you're foreign, good luck. Anyway, I've been here for a couple of days, charging around the bull ring in true Torero fashion with a student, keeping cozy from this British icy drizzle. Nice to be here rather than Brazil. So not day gaming in London, totally possible. Think of Birmingham, think of Cardiff, think of Manchester, think of Liverpool, think of Edinburgh and Glasgow. Glasgow's bloody good. Huge pedestrianisation, just like Cardiff. Everywhere is linked, not a car in sight. It's just pure foot traffic. Hit those cities when uni's in, obviously much better. You'll find warmer, friendlier girls, certainly just for the initial opener, which is good for students. Doesn't have that hard London edge. So, decentralisation is the name of the game, certainly for my coaching at the moment. I'm enjoying travelling here, there and everywhere to coach. I feel like a door-to-door salesman. Sales is game, game is sales. That's a topic for another time. Anyway, today's podcast might be a little bit of a mammoth one. It's another Q&A with your Uncle Thomas. Pull up a chair by the fire, get your whiskey, get your cigar in hand as we delve into the mailbag, which is once again brimming via Twitter and Facebook and my email and YouTube and Pigeon Post, whatever. I've been off the charts, like I said last time, on the Atlantic. So lots of questions have come through. I'll see how many I can get through in half an hour, if not a little bit more. First one is from Eric22. All right, Eric, you say, how do you feel about people copying your stuff? I know what you mean, Eric. You see things that I've done appear in video form or written form. Same kind of videos, same kind of website, same kind of teaching style, I guess. And you know what they say, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery or the greatest form of flattery. I'm happy that on one hand, people like what I do. They think it's worthy enough to replicate or successful enough to replicate. Of course, it's annoying if something's not tied down, if it's something that I've done perhaps in a seminar or I've said on a podcast or I've said on a video and then somebody else replicates it word for word, that's annoying. If it's a blatant ripoff, I mean, an exact replica, that is a big annoyance. Occasionally I email people to remind them that it's my work. Some stuff, it's beyond the realm of copyright. You could say it's intellectual copyright, and it just makes you negative, puts you in a bad mood if you're constantly chasing people who rip off your stuff. But the day game community, the street hustle world is very small. So I know these guys, I know most of the successful day gamers, you could say, in the world. So it's something that I can keep tabs on for now. Who knows in the future when it gets bigger and bigger, I don't know. But anyway, I try not to let it affect my vibe, and you shouldn't either, yeah? Keep it all nice and positive. All right, next question. Cameron, he says, Moscow versus Kiev. He asked lots of little questions about those cities, in particular, how to deal with the bitchiness, the Russian minute out on the street, and girls with little or no English, and which one obviously is better, Moscow or Kiev. I have dealt with this a lot, Cameron. If you read Torero Travels, there's stories from both Moscow and Kiev, and I detail those cities. But it all comes down to this one fact. Moscow has about 12 million people. Kiev has about 2.8, coming up to 3 million people. So just that one fact alone should tell you which city is better for day game, has hotter girls. In terms of the Russian minute, that's just getting that nice alpha frame, that R selected frame, we say in day game, where you have boundaries on bullshit, you have a strong frame, you can overcome her shit tests with either non-reactivity or calling out the elephant in the room, you're persistent. A little tip I've said many times is to have less teasing and more challenging. In the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, they don't really get the whole super dry, ironic role play witticism thing. Some girls do, but in the majority, it's better to just hold your frame, stand your ground, persist, lead, escalate, dominate, and go for it. Boundaries on bullshit, B-O-B, Bob, as my friend Steve says. Girls with no English, I've answered that question many times. It's totally possible. It's even better when they don't speak English because it's subcommunicated with your eyes and your body language. If in doubt, use a bit of Google Translate on your phone on the date. It slows you down. And when they say they don't speak English, they do. A, it's a shit test, but B, they're just embarrassed about their level of English. So rather than opening with, "Hi, do you speak English?" open with, "Hey, you look like you speak English. I think you look beautiful. You look like blah, 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 blah." See what I mean? It really slows you down. You have more time to think. You only have to say half of the stuff and you get a nice, low, slow voice. Use your eyes as well. Watch Street Hustle videos on Tiger Eyes, Maradona Move, etc. Alex B, similar question. How do you handle princess behavior? Same thing. As my dad used to say, whatever a girl says is a shit test. Okay, so dealing with shit tests, you have two possibilities. Number one, non-reactivity. Occasionally laying down boundaries, but largely non-reactive with that cocky smile. Think of Daniel Craig in Casino Royale. Not the new James Bond movie. Sadly, a letdown. Shocking. And B, you agree and amplify. That's the cocky funny. All right, so never take it seriously. Princess behavior, you just keep it cool, nice and cool. And when you need to, especially with former Soviet Union girls, like a good teacher or a good parent, whoosh, yeah, boundaries on bullshit, you call it out. It's all part of manning up. Alex also says, if you don't pull the trigger in bed, does she lose respect? Yes, she does. Very recently, I slept with a beautiful Polish 20-year-old girl, and she liked the fact that I persisted through her token last-minute resistance, and she said she spent all summer with this Polish guy down by a lake sharing a cottage. They had separate beds, but in the same room. She knew he liked him, but not once did he make a physical move. He tried some chody kissing by the lake, but he had all those nights to make a move, and he didn't. It's the man's job to try, it's the woman's job to resist. Obviously, in that tango, playful polarity form, it's the definition of the game, okay? You have to keep pushing the boundary. But like a clever salesman, not pushing all the way to no, just short of no. You want that yes ladder of escalation. Yep. All old school game stuff. Tsun, he asks, what do you do if a guy appears in set who looks like a boyfriend? I'm going to talk about this on a separate Street Hustle video. It's a good topic. Many times I've already talked about cock blocks. If a guy comes in and you're not sure who he is, straight away talk to him. Don't just carry on talking to the girl. Talk to him, smile, and address it. Say, sorry, man, is this your girlfriend? If he says yes, shake his hand and say, well done, man, she's beautiful. Apologies, have a great day, and walk off. I've done that more than a dozen times when a big guy's come in, and they love it because they're proud of showing off their Ferrari girlfriend, yeah? Many times when you say to the poor guy, sorry, is this your girlfriend? The girl will look at him and go, oh no, 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 no. And that poor guy's lost the frame immediately. It's probably the gay best friend. In that case, bring him into the set. It's a two set. Or ignore him completely in true night game anti-cock block style if you've got balls and good frame. He also asks, this is another Tsun question, girls who are dressed very sexually, what compliment to give them? Because you don't want to obviously over compliment them. Yeah, that's often called beta bait. A girl's dressing very provocatively because she wants you to look at her tits. She wants you to have your tongue hanging out of your mouth. So you're right. Mr. Cool, you are going to compliment her, but you're not going to over-compliment her. If anything, you're going to amp up your neg. So the pull is when you say, I think you look nice. The push afterwards is when you say you look like a very glamorous 1980s giraffe. Or, you know, you remind me of Little Red Riding Hood. It's very adorable, taking cakes to your grandmother. Good girl. They love it because they've tried hard to impress, and you're letting them know that you like them. That's definitely with your eyes and your body language and your cocky smile and the fact that you jumped in front of her. That's very dominant. She knows whether she's ovulating or she's a horny MILF or she's just wanting some attention. She knows you've stopped her to hit on her, but then you take it back with a nice, cheeky push away. Power of the push, that's the definition of attraction. Yeah, breaking rapport, not putting her on a pedestal. Dean, he says, at this level of game, what other challenges keep you motivated? Good question, Dean. Lots of guys that started pick up day game around the same time I did, 2009, 2010, We've done a good 5 years of it now, and it does lead to fatigue and burnout, and you achieve what you wanted to achieve. So for me, what keeps me motivated is communicating what I've done, teaching what I've done, passing that on, clarifying it, simplifying it. That's the name of my game, so people can understand it. That gives me a kick. Traveling, as you know, that's one of my huge passions. Traveling, living before I die. That's the definition of life, really. Live before you die. Suck out the marrow of life, as the great poets say. You want to feel the experience of being alive rather than trying to work out all the time what it means to be alive. So taking life by the horns, yeah? By those horny horns. And that's girls, but girls are the carrot on the stick to travel, doing things yourself, trying new things, meeting new guys, learning new skills, pushing the boundaries, manning up, becoming more quote-unquote alpha, becoming more of a badass, but combining it with that tranquility of the Buddha, the badass Buddha. That should be your aim, that's my aim, and girls are just the conduit, the carrot on the stick to gaming yourself, the Trojan horse into yourself, as I've said many times, but good question. A lovely bastard, good name, a lovely bastard, he asks a very serious question. What food do you eat before a big day game session? Well, if you've seen my expanding waistline from 2010 to 2015 up and down because of my comfort eating, my traveling, and my focus on women rather than on my personal fitness at times, you know that often I don't give a shit. Right now I'm trying really hard because on that ship across the Atlantic for 30 days, there was very little exercise and too much food. So I'm addressing that balance with exercise and body weight exercises and nutrition and eating clean and blah, blah, blah. You know the score. But on a serious level, to answer that question, you want slow burning, slow release food. You don't want sugar highs. You don't want loads and loads of coffee or Red Bull where you're going to crash. You want that slow release energy of porridge, one of my favorites. Bananas, my favorite. You could even say a bit of pasta, you know, stodgy carbs, jacket potato, like before you're doing a half marathon or a marathon. And some breaks in the session. So when I'm teaching a session, I do a maximum of 2 hours straight in field and then a sit down, cup of tea, banana, snack, whatever. You don't want those crashes in blood sugar, which will make your mood volatile. Therefore, your vibe will be volatile. Okay. Ryan James, what's your honest opinion of this guy? He says, sending me a link to a video by John Cooper. What's your view on him and pickup? He says, honestly, I feel weird when I go out and do day game. Well, Ryan, I hate to say it, but I don't dislike the guy, but I really dislike what he's pushing and preaching. I've said many times it's creationist, this whole natural game, be yourself, anti-game movement. I hate it. I'm starting more and more like Richard Dawkins to teach the evolutionary biology and the Darwinism of game. Game is life. You could say game is politics, game is sales. Every time you buy something or sell something, you're in the game. Every time somebody with their frame beats your frame in an interaction or a meeting or a presentation or an interview or with a girl, that's game. You can't get out of the game. I love it when guys say, oh, I was gaming her, or should I use game in this situation? Game is life. The very definition of life is game, survival and replication, fighting, foraging and fucking. So when a guy says there is no game, or you've got it within you, just do yoga, meditation, find your chakras, chant, and all will be well. Well, that's just a PR campaign. Guys love dissing game because game is tough. Day game is hard. I've said that many times. And if you offer a guy a cheat solution like lose a stone in a week or make $1 million by clicking on this link, of course, that's good clickbait. And in itself, what guys like John are doing is game because they're using a marketing strategy, an anti-game strategy, which is in itself game. All right. Marketing, sales, that's all a form of persuasion. Hustling, street hustling is day game. Day game is the hustle. That's why I call it street hustling. So if you feel weird going out and do day game, that means you're not comfortable selling yourself or selling something or persuading something. It means you don't want to do it. And okay, here's a straight answer for you. Okay, give up on my advice and just go out there and be yourself for, let's say, half a year, see your results, and then come back to my techniques and read some sales, read some Cialdini, read some books on frame, read some books on manning up, persuasion techniques, hustle techniques, and then try day game. see which one works, okay? End of story. STFN sounds like the name of a hipster electro group. He says, can we talk about game, quote unquote game, when to the other party, when the other party doesn't know it's a game? Well, same topic as Ryan James. Women have an instinctive understanding of the rules of the game. They know they're in a game on a subconscious level in terms of alpha fucks, beta bucks, procreating, tying a guy down, getting resources for their end game, which is having babies. That's what they want, the alpha DNA, but they want provision as well. So they know this and they feel the secret society stuff on a very instinctive level. Watch 50 Shades of Grey or certainly look at the phenomena of women understanding the secret society. So it's men that have to learn the game, okay? Men have to really learn the game because of so many misunderstandings from early childhood and teenage years. And I call it the Disney myths of one-itis, neediness. So men have to learn to play the game. And again, STFN, you sound as uncomfortable with game as Ryan does. So really zoom out and think, what is game? And realize that you can't escape the game. Even having a girlfriend or getting married, oh, that's not an escape from frame control and learning social dynamics. End of story. Matthias, let me find your question actually, mate, because it's a very specific one. Okay, back to biology. He says, if the R-selected species are prey species, like rabbits and mice, that have their population limited by predators, like eagles and wolves, and not by scarcity of resources, and they therefore reproduce like crazy and have low parental investment because quantity over quality matters. Well, that's right if you're looking at R and K in terms of binary. It's an old model. It's not used by biologists anymore, but it's a good framework, certainly for explaining nice guys and bad boys. If you're not sure about what I'm talking about right now, go back to my talk with Krauser on the RK spectrum, on monogamy versus polygamy, on lovers and providers. That's all on this channel. Matthias goes on, and K species are predators that have their population limited by scarce resources, you're right, and therefore reproduce less, invest more in their cubs because quality matters over quantity. You're correct. Then the alpha fucks, beta bucks equation is only significant for K species because R species are simply indiscriminate. R selected females are not hypergamous. Then wouldn't R selected day game be a misnomer? Being alpha selected day game is correct term. Please school me from my biggest Brazilian fan. Cheers, mate. Sorry I didn't bump into you wherever you were in Brazil. It's a good question, but it's very binary. You're taking it literally. Remember that. RK model is an outdated biological, ecological model, but it's useful for understanding big ideas like the nice guy versus the bad boy, the provider versus the lover. And you have flagged up a point that when we're talking about RK, we're only talking about this as a strategy for men. You have to assume, and quite correctly since the agricultural revolution, that women are playing the K game. They want quality. They're looking for provision of resources. They're looking to raise a child. Yeah, you could say in the party years, 18 to 21, she fucks around for some nice alpha DNA and for some sexual reference points and experiences. But it's men we're preaching this to. So focus on yourself. Are you K? That means provider. You could say beta. You could say playing the boyfriend role. Or are you R selected? Are you going for the quick fucks, telling her what you want, not hiding your dick, strong frame, being polygamous? Yeah, I've talked about how it's not binary and there's lots of stages in between, and you can find the sweet spot, the badass Buddha spot of being perhaps an R selected boyfriend or an R selected husband. Certainly more healthy mentally, you could say, than being a player for life, an R selected man for life. But I hope that answers your question. Do you see what I mean? If you don't, read The Evolution of Desire by Professor David Buss, or read Sperm Wars by Robin Baker, or even go back to Richard Dawkins' The Selfish Gene if you're interested in the biology beneath day game and game. Silver says, what resources to use for starting out? Oh, what an exhausting question, Silver. This channel, enough, hopefully, gives you everything you need. My beginner day game video on this channel for free gives you everything you need to get started. The game is played in field. How many times do I have to nag you? 90% of learning game is outside talking to girls. The 10%, you could say it's enough just to be on this channel watching the beginner day game video, maybe the texting video and my dating guide. That is enough. He asks me also about Justin Wayne, a New York day gamer, and how Justin switches between sometimes opening indirect and sometimes opening direct based on how bitchy the girl looks. I can see why that's a strategy, certainly for very nervous beginners who don't want to feel the blowout. But in the last 3 years, British day game has led the way because we've just put our balls on the line and said, just tell her what you want. Just go direct. You're going to get more no's. You're a bit more pushy. We say it because of what it does for you as a person underneath the bonnet. Okay, it's making you a lot tougher. And even with the bitchy responses, shit tests are good. You learn about frame control. You learn about manning up. It's a lot better for your AA. Of course, there's times, and I'll come back to this in another question, when it's good to go indirect or indirect direct, situational. But as a beginner, learn direct day game first. Okay, RGLM. What a cheeky bastard. A pushy, cheeky bastard. You could say needy, or you could say nice and persistent. He asks me 16 separate questions on my YouTube channel. Jesus Christ. I'm not going to go through all of them now. Perhaps if you want a Skype session with me to go through all of them, then drop me an email. But let's pick out the big ones. You've given me a breakdown of your stats. So that's personal data. I'm not going to go through that. But just an offhand comment, you're not approaching enough. All right, 30 to 50 approaches a week. You say you do more video and theory than action. Well, you've got the 90-10 balance wrong. 30 to 50 approaches a week, that's going to give you a bigger data set. Right, a question about wearing glasses. Do you think you should do contacts? Yes, I certainly think guys wearing glasses should at least try contact lenses, and if you're happy with contact lenses, after a while, consider laser eye surgery like I did. I know the kind of hipster look very recently has been for big, thick-framed glasses. I know it makes you look a bit more sensitive and soulful, and you know, you got your beard and your comb over, David Beckham hair. But try the freedom of not wearing glasses because of that tiger eye, that beautiful eye contact you get with a girl. Go for more of that rugged look. Push yourself in the direction of art. Of course, later you can swing back to glasses and combining the badass and the Buddha. But the majority of guys listening to this podcast and doing day game even are too nice, are too vanilla, too bland. You're dressed like everybody else. Perhaps you are a hipster. It's been and gone, that phase. Get into your leathers, get into your biker look, get into your suits, get into your dapper James Dean. Get away from what everybody's doing. If you're doing what everybody else is doing, if you're wearing what everybody else is wearing, then something is wrong. You've got a question about the Philippines. You game foreigners in shopping malls. I was in the Philippines and it was fine gaming Filipinos in the malls. Sure, you can start off with foreigners. They'll give you more friendly responses, not more friendly sex, but friendly responses initially. But get into your local girls. German guys don't like approaching German women. American guys don't like approaching American women. English guys don't like approaching English girls. It's a weasel. It's just one of those classic things you need to power through. You beg for me to answer a question on the spotlight effect. What do you do with the spotlight effect? If you don't know what the spotlight effect is, gentlemen, it's again a massive weasel that guys have about people watching them. You assume, because you are the center of your universe, that therefore you are the center of everybody else's universe. Everybody's watching you, shop security, crowds of people. That's why guys don't like jumping in front of girls or doing seated cafe sets or high-pressure situations in airports. The real answer is a tough answer. It's tough love in that you're not the center of the universe. People certainly in big cities don't give a shit about you. You could lie down naked on the streets, I always say to students, and people would just step over you. People might look at you for 1 or 2 seconds when you do day game, but guys are usually jealous and girls usually go, oh, that's so romantic. All right, If somebody gives you a funny look, so what? That's part of day game, manning up. Don't give a fuck what other people think. Of course, don't be socially retarded. I'm talking about social intelligence. If you want to do some of those prank, warm-up, social freedom exercises, I've got a nice bad boy video on this. Go through my nice bad boy video series on my YouTube channel. And one of them, you see me doing these social freedom exercises of climbing up lampposts, spinning girls round, doing press-ups in the street, just going crazy. So you feel, you make yourself feel like people are watching, so you get over this ridiculous spotlight effect. And it is something you can get over. You might need to battle through each time you go out and do it, but you can certainly minimize it, or you can desensitize yourself to it. All right, moving on. Bricks. Dry spells. How do you deal with dry spells? And with obviously without compromising game if you take a bit of time out. Everybody has dry spells. It's good to have an off season if you've been hitting it hard. Dry spells means you're probably going to be a bit more nice. You're going to be needy through lack of abundance. Your voice is going to be high. You're going to be talking too fast. You're going to be running out of things to say. You're not going to be as witty and as sharp. You're going to either not try on the date because you're scared of fucking it up, or you're going to be so horny that you're going to jump on her and make out in the corner like a horny teenager. You're going to burst the bubble and she's going to run away through ASD or LMR. It's just a question of jumping in there again and accepting it's part of the game, all right? I've taken time off, and like right now when I jumped back in Birmingham, I was a little bit rusty. But after an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, and now 2 days, a good 10 hours of solid day game on the street, I'm back into the groove. There's the concept which I think comes from bodybuilding, obviously me being one of the world's greatest bodybuilders, that if you lift a lot and then you take time off, your body, your muscles retain that knowledge, so you can get back in the game. You can build quicker than, let's say, a skinny fat beginner like me. It's the same for day game. So if you've done a lot of day game, when you jump back in, it's easier for me than a guy who's just starting out. So simple answer. I know it's, you want probably a better one, but just jump back in, except you're going to be rusty, and crack on with it, head down. He says also about the Philippines, have I tried Southeast Asia? Yes, I have. And of course, it's easy to bang girls there. They're not my preference. I don't think they're hot, but I wouldn't call it game. All right, this is white man God complex syndrome. Same with Dominican Republic and Cuba, or borderline prostitution for some guys. In the Philippines, in places like Manila, you'll see really old fat guys like in Bangkok or Cuba with 18-year-old girls. Now, it's provider game, it's gold digger game, it's passport game largely. You even see this in the Ukraine. Guys are not applying any game at all except their resources. They girlfriend up these girls, they get married to them very quickly. The girls are gaming them. It's a very clever move. I don't blame girls for it. If you were a hot 18-year-old, that's the way to get an American passport and some dollars, yeah, to hang around shopping malls. Don't kid yourself, it's game. So certainly don't do it if you want to improve your game. I wouldn't go there just to get notches, because it leaves you feeling a bit weird, same as, you know, girls in Cuba. You know that they're not banging you for your R-selected persuasion, hustling game abilities. You know it's a transaction. Sure, when I'm 60 or 70, super fat, whatever, yeah, that's most likely going to be my game. When you really can't play the game on my terms anymore, do it then. Or do it as like a bit of a laugh. I've been to these places with guys or students for a bit of a laugh, just a bender, like a hangover, stag do bender. But don't do it as your main form of game. Xander, good old Xander, great Xander, Xander the Great. My buddy down in South Africa, in Cape Town, an amazing day gamer, a man with a lot of charm and charisma and strength. He asks about MILFs, mummy game, women over 30 with strong frames. I know what you're talking about, and certainly in places like Moscow, London and New York, you have very powerful women, older women that are lawyers, doctors, bankers. They're going to earn more money than you'll ever see. They drive better cars, they live in better houses. So let's come back to the point. They're not looking certainly for resources. So K game doesn't work. The beta boyfriend stuff doesn't work. The cocky, cheeky, poor, scruffy alpha game really works. So you want to amplify the cocky funny. You want to overcome her shit tests with agree and amplify. you want to say to her things like, I can't believe, you know, you're seducing me, an innocent toy boy. You want to do what pimps and Max do. Yeah, flip it round. So she's treating you, taking you out to dinner. I've done this where girls have flown me to their city, bought me stuff, taken me for rides in their car. One German woman in Dusseldorf who worked for Deutsche Bank, she let me have her apartment for a week. She fed me in exchange for sex. So you definitely just want to be the sex guy. Don't play the boyfriend role. And the stronger the woman, the more she wants to be dominated. So the more you need to man up, okay? It's really important to learn boundaries on bullshit, overcoming princess behavior and shit tests with them. Just holding your ground and accusing them. They spend all day in very powerful roles and they long to be dominated, okay? So that's going to be your job. He also asks a teaching question, because Xander is a coach down in Cape Town. If you're in South Africa and you want day game coaching, Xander's the guy to go to. Email me if you want contact with him. He's getting into coaching and he asks a good coaching question. What real mindsets to give first-time students to make their first few approaches smoother? Because Xander's a very tough guy, and perhaps tough love is not the way to go with students. I agree. It's all about baby steps and getting those key reference experiences. So it's not even about phone numbers and instant dates and dates and lays. For them, it's about becoming social. So don't overburden beginners with theory. It's about action, jumping in there. And if they're shit scared, start indirect, you know, asking for the time, asking directions, compliments, hit and run. Then baby stepping the model. That's why I break it down. Have a look at my toolkit form on this website. Also, I've done a free audio guide where I talk you through these things. So listen to that, then pass that on to a student about how to baby step it, okay? And it's encouragement, just like a child learning the alphabet or a child learning to count. Lots and lots and lots of practical examples and encouragement. Also do some demoing, because guys learn from osmosis. Keeping that vibe light, not overburdening a student with heavy theory. When I started teaching, I used to load on the theory so much because you wanted to tell the beginner all about the fundamental principles of game and all the nuances of street hustling. But now much better to chunk it. Of course, it's different. If you get an intermediate or an advanced guy, yeah, you can dive in and micromanage things and have a go at him. Some students, yeah, they do need tough love, but only after you've used the speaking softly approach. Final questions from Luke. He says, can you give examples of the indirect, direct type of day game? I've talked about this in my books and on other podcasts, how indirect, direct really is the pinnacle of game if you can pull it off. You can't rely on it because it requires you to spot these social situations where you can call a girl out, you can accuse her, you can make a cocky comment. You shouldn't rely on it. You can't really learn it as a standalone technique. I say first you should learn direct day game. Then do indirect game if you're on an aeroplane or a long train ride or a coach trip, or it's a girl at work or a girl in your college and it's a slow boiler. But occasionally you just get these lucky situations, and I find them in airports or in Starbucks or in supermarkets, or if I'm in a shop with a student and I see a girl picking up a dress. And I might say, I just might go over or walk past to smile at her and say, yeah, you should buy it. I've got that. It looks beautiful on me, but I've got it in pink. You should definitely buy that. We could be doppelgangers. And just smile, and she'll smile back. Of course, like indirect game, you've then got to transition. So I call out the elephant and say, ah, only joking. I wanted to come and say hello. You're cute. My name's Tom. What I noticed about you really was da-da-da-da-da-da-da, okay, into your direct London day game model. If she's shopping in the supermarket, you can see some cat food in her bag, in her basket. I say, you know, you should really eat less of that stuff. It messes with your stomach. Ha, 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 cheeky wink. And then back into the direct stuff. If she's on a bridge, you might walk past and say, don't jump. Somebody loves you. And then introduce yourself. Maradona move, tiger eyes, proximity, torero toe into the spiking, into the stacking, yeah? Or luckily, a girl might walk past and yawn, and you can stop her and say, no yawning allowed, got to fine you. Or when I often do with a student, when I take him into a department store, we did it yesterday in the bullring, you see one of those makeup girls really bored, doing nothing at the makeup counter in a department store, and she's just kind of shuffling around, pretending to polish things or move things. And I say, remember what your boss said, you're not allowed to move from this spot, come back here, and then take her hand and bring her back to a spot. And so you've got to stand there, that's what you're paid to do. And by the way, I don't believe what anybody else says, you're doing a good job. That's a cocky funny line, a nice little spike. Despite what everybody else says, I still think you're nice. Try that one out. There you go. Let me see what the time is. On the clock, that's just over half an hour. I think that's enough Q&A for today. Oh, I feel like I've answered a lot of those questions many times before, but from the nature of the questions I get and the regular emails I get, I can still see there's this massive need for fundamental game knowledge, basic game knowledge. You can never clarify simple points enough. And that's part of what my new project is all about, which I'm working hard on in the background. That's why there might be a little less content than usual. Hopefully by Christmas or the new year, my new baby will be born and it will solve a lot of these niggling, nagging questions and clarify a lot of these muddy game concepts. Guys are still confused no matter how many times I try to explain things like frame or shit tests or even the London day game model. How many more times can I break that down? There's a video on this channel. Guys, email me and say, what is the opener? What do I say? How do I get her number? What is the best place to meet women? I'm still getting travel emails about what parts of London should I game in or which cities in Europe should I game in? And there's podcasts on those topics. And if you're day gaming, you should be diving in and trying anyway. Anyway, rant over because I did ask for questions, so my fault. Little reminders as upsells at the end. My final coaching of the year, Saturday Street Hustle Sessions. It's 1 day, 5 hours, streets, cafes, malls, coffee shops. It's the full model, broken down, live in field with a maximum of 2 students. It's 400 quid for the day. My last 2 sessions, one is on Saturday the 5th of December in Central London, and the second one is on the Saturday the 12th of December in Central London. Currently, there's still 1 place on each. I've got 1 guy booked for each Saturday. First come, first served. Email me, tom@tomterrero.com. I'm off to Japan, 13th of November, back on the 30th of November, doing some coaching there, hitting it hard with a wing, going on some Japanese adventures. But I'm Skypeable once again. I'm not on the Atlantic, so my Skype training can commence, will commence. Wherever you are in the world, if you can't come and do one of those Saturday Street Hustle sessions with me, you want to go through your sticking points, you want to play me some audio of you in field, you want to talk about texting or wider issues like unplugging, becoming self-employed, relationship issues, whatever. Give me an email about that for hourly Skype coaching possibilities, tom@tomterrero.com. That was podcast 36 from Birmingham. See you next time. Ta-da.